Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's fourth quarter 2022 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risk and uncertainties because they relate to future events and expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion on these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information and future developments. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference, sir.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the last quarter of 2022. As usual, we will start on page 3 with the highlights of the quarter. And we have included also the results for the full year, 2022. So you can see there that we had revenues of $7.1 billion for the whole year. That's almost a 12% increase over 2021. And for the quarter, we had a decrease of 15% of our sales to $1.6 billion. In terms of net income for the full year was $700 million. That is a 30% reduction over last year. And we had a loss of $177 million for the quarter that we will explain more in detail during this conference call. In terms of adjusted EBITDA, the whole year was $2.2 billion, more or less. That is 13% less than a year before. And for the quarter, $387 million. That is a 30% reduction over the third quarter of 2022. Our net debt to EBITDA ended in 2.33 times. And our MAPA project, Line 3 of Arauco, started a ramp-up process at the end of 2022. We move to page 5. We can start by talking about the EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA that, as I mentioned, was $388 million. That is a reduction compared to the EBITDA of the third quarter, which was $553 million. As you can see there in the graph below, the main reduction came from the wood products division, where we saw a reduction of $130 million compared to last quarter. That is a 45% reduction. And that is due basically of a reduction in average prices about 10% and a 14% decrease in sales volume. We had also a decrease in the EBITDA of the pulp business by 8.6%. Mostly due to a decrease in sales volume and a little bit of average prices. Our EBITDA margin stood in 24%, which is also a reduction compared to the 29% that we saw in the third quarter. If we move to page 6 and look a little bit about the income statement, we can see there that we had a gross profit of $542 million compared to $755. We have negative other income that we will explain later on, and also some reduction in distribution costs, an increase in administrative expenses, a big increase in other expenses that we also will discuss later on. We have higher financial costs compared to the other quarters of 2022, and this is explained by the end of the capitalization of the interest that we were doing before the startup of the MAPA project. So that explains the main difference in the financial cost of the quarter. We had higher exchange rate differences, basically explained by losses in Argentina that have been increasing a little bit compared to other quarters. That is the the value of the Argentinian peso holdings in cash expressed in US dollars. That, compensated by a positive income tax, ended up in a net loss of $177 million. In terms of the big explanation of that loss, we will go through the details later, but I'll explain by two big one-time accounting charges that we took during the quarter. If we move to page 7 and discuss the revenues, we can see the 15% decrease over compared to last quarter. And the pulp revenues were down 5%, but wood products revenues decreased 22%. So basically, we had a big reduction in the sales volume and production levels that we're going to see during the presentation in the wood division that had very good quarters during the last, let's say, couple of years. So the revenue was $1.6 billion. And again, mostly wood products, 54%, and pulp, 45%. In terms of cost of sales, we had a decrease of 6.4%, that is $72 million. But it's basically explained by some chemical cost decrease and other raw materials, but also lower sales volume in the wood division, especially that helped decrease the total cost of sales. In terms of unitary cost of sales of pulp, we can see a big increase in unbleached softwood pulp, 20%. And the explanation of this is basically that we had the stoppage of annual maintenance of the Licancel mill, which is one of the two mills that we produce unbleached pulp. And we had a stoppage, an unscheduled stoppage in the Concepcion mill at the middle of December, with a problem of the lime kiln, and that mill was stopped at that date and continues to be stopped until the 21st of March, but we'll start again production. All these months of losses of production are covered by the insurance, subject to deductibles, but we had to repair the lime kiln, and it's going to be starting production in a couple of weeks from now, the 21st of March. Page 8, in terms of distribution costs and expenses, the decrease in distribution costs is basically explained by a decrease in volume sold and also some decrease in unitary freight costs because of the reduction in cost of freight that we have been seeing across the world in terms of the high cost that we had during the first half of 2022. We had increases in administrative expenses, about $20 million, and that is explained by an increase in other administrative expenses that are basically services, outsourcers, transport of employees, and other expenses, and some other small increases in fees, technical services, and computer services. Page 9, here we have the explanation of the two big accounting impacts. The first one is a loss in the gain from changes in fair value of biological assets. We had a loss of about $186 million in the quarter. That compares with a $73 million gain that we had during the third quarter. And this difference is basically explained by a reevaluation of the discount rate that we applied to our forest because of the increasing interest rates through the year. We increased the discount rate, for example, in Chile, 5.5% to 7%. And that has a big impact on the valuation of the forest, that it was basically about $200 million more or less in the valuation of the forest, but it's about 6.8%. So that change was accounted in November, and that explains the one-time effect in other income of about $186 million, which is most of the impact of the changes that we saw in the quarter. And the other big accounting one-time charge was done in other expenses, as you can see on the right side. And this is basically an impairment provision that we did in Argentina, again, because of increases in discount rates and country risk in Argentina and other projections of price and volumes for the Alto Paraná mill, the Puerto Esperanza mill. So we took a write-off of $127 million before taxes in that mill, that is about 35% of the total value of the of the mill. And that explains the one-time charge of 127. The other write-off was in the line, the particle board line in PN that we stopped, and we took a charge of about $14 million on that mill. So that explains most of the one-time charges in permanent provision of property, plant, and equipment. Now, if we go to each business segment, starting with pulp in page 11, we can see that, at the top a graph showing the index prices, fixed index prices for the different type of pulp. If we focus on the lines below, which are China net prices, we can see that prices started to go down at the beginning of this year and the end of last year, and we can see that the spread between the fibers now is about $180. That is explained by a decrease in short fiber and more stable prices in long fiber. In terms of inventory, we can also see that inventories went up for both fibers, and now they stand at about 49 and 48 days of supply. And that is explained by some realignment in the logistic chains that helped put more volumes into the market. In terms of the shipments variation, we have a table there showing but only 1 month of variation. We compare 1 year to the other, and we can see that it's a 6% lower volume of shipments of bleached pulp. And we have a big reduction in what is Europe. I mean, in January, we are already seeing a 17% less shipment to Europe. On page 12, now talking about the quarter and the pulp adjusted EBITDA, we can see that the 8.6% reduction from $308 million to $281 million, and the effects that we already mentioned, which is a 5% reduction in sales, which is a 3% reduction in price and 2% decrease in volume. You can see that below a graph showing the production of the quarter and the sales, and we can see that there's a big, a very big difference between production and sales. That is means that we increased our stock in about 130,000 tons from the end of September to the end of December. And then the main explanation is that we increased in about 70,000 tons our inventory of dissolving pulp in preparation for the stoppage that we will have to do for 4 months in the Valdivia mill for repairment of the dryer that was damaged in May of 2022. So we were increasing our stock in order to maintain more stable sales during that period. And the other increase is about 40,000 tons in eucalyptus. That was also a planned increase in stock in order to be able to comply with some of the volumes of the contracts that we made for MAPA starting 2023. So that explains the lower sales compared to a relative better production that we had in the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter. So in terms about the market, prices were lower compared to the previous quarter, and global stock continued increasing. The second quarter, we had prices of softwood of about $1,000 per ton and $880 for eucalyptus. We ended December 2022 with $920 for softwood and $850 for hardwood, so relatively lower prices during the quarter. We saw in Europe some short fiber supply restrictions for Scandinavian producers, so they were more skewed to produce long fiber, so that produced some oversupply of long fiber in Europe, pressuring prices of softwood. In China, we saw a lower demand, some normalization of inventory levels, and also logistic delays. In Europe, paper demand started to drop significantly, especially in packaging and printing and writing. But pulp demand remained quite strong, but began to decrease towards the end of the quarter. The prices remained stable in Europe, but the basic decreases were in long fiber. We sell mostly short fiber in Europe. And we saw higher imports from Asia in Europe due to lower logistics and production costs. In dissolving pulp, markets continue to be weak, with prices that continued to decrease during the quarter because we have low activity in the viscose market. And, of course, what we discussed, the production during the fourth quarter was affected by the non-scheduled stoppage at Constitución that was in the middle of December. In terms of the outlook in page 13, we can see that the market started to soften during the quarter. In China, shipments started to decrease in view of the Chinese New Year. Also, the export market started to suffer demand for packaging material. As we already mentioned, the prices for viscose dropped in spite of the reduced supply. So some of the producers of dissolving pulp switched to paper grade, so making more supply of paper grade. So the first quarter is continued to be challenging. The restriction of COVID has eased in China, but we haven't seen a pickup in demand now. So the services industry has been benefited in China, but not yet the paper business and the packaging business in China. So we still feel that this quarter, first quarter, probably second quarter, will be more challenging in terms of demand and prices. In Europe, the paper producers started putting pressure on hardwood prices at the end of the fourth quarter, but the effect was not materialized. And we see paper demand deteriorating very fast during the first quarter of 2023. If you see the graph of prices, we decreased our price of hardwood from 845 in December to 760 in January, and then 750 in February. So almost $100 decrease in hardwood. Softwood was more stable, with a decrease of $20 in January and a small increase in February to 900. And the price of dissolving pulp was stable, even though at lower levels than we saw during last year, which was more close to $1,000 per ton. In terms of the stoppage of the mills, we had only Licancel as a planned stoppage in fourth quarter. We are doing the stoppage of Constitución while the mill is being repaired, so that's going to be done during the stoppage that we have. Then we have this big four-month stoppage in Valdivia for the repairment of the dryer that is planned starting in the 1st of April. And we have Nueva Aldea in the third quarter, and Puerto Esperanza and Montes del Plata for 10 days in the second quarter. And line 2 is programmed to stop on the fourth quarter for 16 days. In terms of prices for March, we have announced unchanged prices, but we know that the situation is more difficult. We haven't closed anything yet. We're still under discussion with clients, and most of them are waiting for the Shanghai Pulp Week. That's going to be done in the 20th of March. So most of the negotiation will probably be done during that week in Shanghai. So still nothing closed or price agreed during March. Page 14. If we move to wood products, here you can see the sharp decrease in EBITDA from $283 million to $150. We had a very good quarters in the past, probably not normal quarters for wood products, and we are returning to a more normal levels. And we had to adjust production because of lower volumes of demand. And so we gave vacations in some of the mills. We stopped some production for maintenance in order not to increase a lot of inventories, but the effect was huge in EBITDA, and you can see there that we had a decreases in prices and in volumes, especially in volumes of 13%. Panel sales were also decreased 13% in prices in volume and 5.6% in prices. Also, a high decrease in volumes and prices of solid wood, that we also adjust production in order to not to comply with demand and not to pressure prices more than they were decreasing. Plywood sales volume decreased by 20% and average prices remained stable. So it was a very challenging fourth quarter and continues to be. We think that we have adjusted the production and we expect that the demand will normalize and we could pick up in the following quarters. In page 15, where you can see the production and sales, you can see there the decrease in production and also the decrease in sales. You can see in panels, for example, we decreased 200,000 cubic meters of sales, and most of them were in MDF, 110,000 and 70,000 in particle board. In some timber, we decreased 80,000 cubic meters, most of them in remanufactured wood products. And in plywood, 30,000 cubic meters of sales. So as you can see, trying to adjust production quickly, and that is one of the advantages of the flexibility of our mills in order to not put more pressure of supply in the market. In page 16, in terms of outlook, in our main market, which is North America, that has about 54% of sales, we saw a higher supply coming from Brazil to North America, putting more pressure in the market, so we were affected by volumes and prices in India. And because of basically demand, was down because higher interest rates, less construction activity, so that affected volumes. Particle board was relatively better because we suffered less competition from other markets because it has lower margins, so it's not so interesting to export from other markets. In remanufactured wood products, market remained weak due oversupply and all the inventories that were accumulated because of the delay in logistics have not been corrected completely, so there's still been some effect in the demand from our clients. But the fundamentals remain in normal levels, so we expect that could be normalized in the coming months and we could start selling in volumes better than the fourth quarter. Plywood, we are more positive for the coming months after the correction inventories, and also because we will start the spring season that normally bring us more demand for our products, plywood. In the graph of housing starts, you can see that in January was 1.4 million houses annually, a decrease from the last numbers, but you can see the long-term trend continues to go up. Of course, the situation of interest rates, long-term interest rates, employment, of course, in the U.S. will determine the demand for housing in the coming quarters. Page 17, the rest of the market, Central and South America. Brazil is a concern. It was the first market to start decreasing last year. The small supply coming in MDF. So the domestic market continues to be a little bit oversupply, and that brings more export to the rest of the America from our competitors and from us also. In Chile, prices continue to weaken in remanufactured wood products, and we see more stable prices and demand for coming months in panels in Chile. Argentina is stable and good for the rest of the year. You know, Argentina is a very special place, so we expect demand to continue for wood products in Argentina. And Asia and Oceania, which is 9%, prices continue to weaken and some supply coming from Asia. More positive in Oceania in terms of panels. And in Europe and Middle East, which is a very small market of 3%, some disruptions related to fiber cost helping to get more balanced markets during the quarter. Now, about financial review, page 19. Our total cash position was $670 million, that if we add our revolving credit facility of $375, we have a total liquidity of a little bit more than $1 billion. So we continue to have good liquidity at the end of the year. Page 20, our free cash flow was negative $267 million. The main causes of this was basically a lower EBITDA, of course, that that brought lower cash from operations from $430 to $320, and also that we paid interim dividends in December for about $185 million, that increasing the cash from financing activities to from -$16 to -$200 million. We had a CapEx coming from investment activities, mostly stable from $376 to $360. So this negative free cash flow, with some variation of exchange rate that affected our debt issued in UF, in Chile, increased our net debt to $5.051 billion. And that increased our leverage, as you can see in page 21, from 1.9 to 2.33. So this is an increase in net debt from $4.6 billion to $5 billion, and also a decrease in last 12 months adjusted EBITDA of 10% to $2.16 billion for the year. In terms of our gross debt went down up from $5.5 to $5.7, the main explanation being the exchange rate adjustment to our UF bonds from about $150 million because of the appreciation of the Chilean peso. Page 22, our debt profile. You can see there our amortizations for the next 13 years. And the big amortization that we have is our $500 million bond incoming in August 2024, that you can see there in the graph, together with some short-term debt that we have and other leasings and things that we accounted for. Not a lot of amortization during 2023, apart from the short-term bank loans and the amount to be paid under the ECA of Punta de Plata in March. Now, going to material facts and news, page 24. As of the end of December, the MAPA project, Line 3, started the ramp-up process by loading the chips to the digester. And we were able to, in January 20th, of the production of the first bale, manufactured entirely in Line 3. You can see the photograph there of all the employees signing the first bale. And now the mill team is focused on increasing production and solving the normal issues that appear every time that you start a ramp-up. We were able, during the beginning of March, to start the production at the pulp machine number 3 that was not ready. We started production with only one pulp machine, line, which is pulp machine number 4. So right now we have both of them, and we're starting really the ramp-up on a normal way of production. So we expect sometime next year, the first month, to reach a monthly full month capacity. And you know, this Line 3, together with the existing Line 2, will bring the capacity of the Arauco mill to 2.1 million tons of pulp per year. Page 25, an update of the forest fires. You probably know that we had a very, very hard season of forest during, you know, in all Chile, during starting at the beginning of February. And there were about 400,000 hectares of damage in the whole country, but from them, about 240,000 are plantations. And we had a big effort of fighting fire. You can see the amount of resources there, more than 1,300 firefighters, 90 trucks, 35 helicopters and airplanes, 130 detection towers. You know, every year we spend more than $55 million on fighting fire and preventing fire, so a huge effort. But the amount of the intensity of the fires and the simultaneously of the fire, the weather, the low humidity, the wind, was very difficult to fight for all the companies and all the owners in Chile. So we end up with a damage in about 47,000 hectares of our plantations. That means that after accounting for the insurance, with their deductibles and everything, and also the extra cost of repairing roads and other things, we expect that this could have an impact in our income statement of about $50 million. That's what we declared to the market recently. And we expect that now the situation is getting better. There are some rains that are announced for the following days in the south, so we expect that the risk of new fires will, of course, go down, but it was a very difficult season in terms of forest damage, and the impact you can see there is probably about $50 million that we expect at this time. Page 26, some about a little bit about ESG. You know that we were in the COP27, the UN Climate Change Conference in Egypt. We were there for the third consecutive year, and Arauco is a member of the Friends of COP. We went together leaders of Latin America and the Caribbean to committed to the challenge of global change. We also announced the measurement of our annual of our natural capital with the ambition of being natural net positive. So now we are basing our approach in three dimensions: water management, biodiversity conservation, and CO2 atmosphere reduction. Well, you know that this COP27 was held from November 6 to 18 in Egypt. And the other thing is that we are carbon neutral for the third year in a row. That is our continuous effort to measure our emissions and captures of CO2 by our forests. In page 27, the last thing about ESG, we are upgrading our waste revaluation goal. Now we have a commitment of achieving 100% revaluation of our non-hazard waste by 2030. So this means that we will increase the lifetime of waste deposit. We will diminish the disposal of waste and benefit, of course, of the resources that we can get from them. So during 2022, we achieved approximately 60% in pulp and 47% in wood products. That is a big increase compared to the year before, but we are committed to go to 100% revaluation by 2030, and we are making our efforts in trying to achieve that goal. So, last slide before going to Q&A, just to remind the takeaways, we were able to maintain very good results. I mean, compared to historically, in a very challenging year, the net income was affected by two big accounting charges, but we all also had a very good result of $700 million. As of December, we were able to start the MAPA, line 3. So that is one thing out of their to-do list. And we are now focused on having a safe ramp up and to deliver good products from that mill. And also our commitment to ESG and the waste revaluation of our industrial non-hazard waste by 2030. Okay, that's all what I have in the presentation. So now I would like to open to Q&A.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your questions, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. And the first question will come from Isabella Van Quiselis with Brandesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple on my end. So first, on MAPA, if you could comment, please, on you know, how the ramp-up is evolving vis-a-vis your initial expectations and how much, you know, volume contribution you expect from the mill in 2023. That would be very helpful. And the second question on the Chinese pulp market demand and pricing dynamics, if you can comment on how, you know, the demand has been evolving across different paper grades in China, I think that would be helpful, and also on pricing dynamics We heard that, you know, pressure remains significant, and we heard even of some deals being made at around 700, even below that. So if you could comment on how negotiations have been evolving, it would be interesting to hear. And also on the fiber spread dynamics, if you expect, you know, softwood fiber spread to remain relevantly higher in 2023, or at least in the next few months. These are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, regarding Tumapa, the ramp-up process in our case was a little bit different because we had only one of the pulp machines ready for production when we start. So you cannot run the mill at full capacity, not for a long time during the startup because of that pulp machine. Once we were ready for that, right now we can put more speed to the production. So we expect that we will feel the real increase in production by month by month and quarter by quarter during this year. We're not expecting to reach probably a full year of production until the first month of 2024 probably. And every time you put more speed to the machine, you start seeing things that could be have to be resolved. So it's different and not so predictable. But we expect from our projections that we could probably end up this year producing about 800 and between 800 and 850,000 tons from that mill, and from that, of course, we will sell less because we have to build inventory and probably 100,000 less of sales than production. That could be a good view on that. But we expect to quarter by quarter to increase production, but not having a full quarter this year most probably, and of course the last month of this year will be month that we production that will be most close to a full month of capacity production. We'll be letting know the market for all the conference call how we're doing on that. And regarding the Chinese pulp market, we announced our position, but we haven't closed anything and negotiations are underway. We know that it's difficult. I mean, we have heard from other competitors lowering prices and there's some volume that is in the market already or producers that have some stock very close to customers. And in our case, we don't have a lot of volume. I mean, we have suffered some production delays and of MAPA. So we are negotiating and we don't have news at this moment. It's difficult, so it's going to be a little bit hard to maintain prices. But I don't have news of any reduction being closed yet, and most probably that will be done during the Shanghai Pulp Week that is going to start in about 1 or 2 weeks from now. So at that time, we will be able to know a little bit better about what are the final price negotiations and the volume that we can close for the Chinese market. But of course, it's more difficult than it was before, and it's not going to be easy to close the whole volume at the price that we would want.
That's clear. And on the demand side, how are things faring post-Chinese New Year?
Okay. On the demand? Well, as I mentioned, we are expecting a turnaround because of the end of the COVID measures in China, but it's going to take some time. I think that the other economic areas are benefiting more easily from that, services, tourism, that kind of thing. And we still need to see an increase in exports from China, production, in order to see some more demand for containerboard, for paper, and all that. So we expect to have a couple of difficult quarters before seeing some increase of demand coming from more activity in the economy in China. I think that I didn't mention that you asked about the spread of the different types of pulp. Right now it's at 200, which is above average, of course. So I don't see that being sustained for the future. At some point, or softwood will have to go down, but I don't see $200 being on a medium term spread for the future.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Thanks. The next question will come from Hernan Kislyak with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for the call and for taking my question. I know that you guys don't provide guidance, but I would like to know your thoughts, Gianfranco, around how net leverage would evolve. We have kind of two opposing forces now. One is lower pulp prices and the normalization of the wood products business. And on the other hand, you are ramping up MAPA that will provide a cash flow. So between these two opposing forces, how do you see net leverage evolving this year?
Well, yes, we had the good news of more volume, but we also have the pressure of lower volumes from wood products and probably lower average prices of pulp. So, and that is a challenge. So I would say that most probably the leverage will go a little bit over the amount that we closed 2022. But of course, it's going to be between the ranges that we have defined to be investment grade. So it's part of the cycle. We understand that as soon as we can get more volume and more EBITDA coming from MAPA, we will have free cash flow to reduce debt. And that will probably come at the second half of the year rather than the first one. So I would say that leverage will continue to go up as our last 12 months EBITDA will decrease and our debt, net debt will be most probably be the same or a little bit higher. So I would say that will go up a little bit, the leverage.
Got it. Thank you very much.
The next question will come from Gabriel Bachao with Pine Bridge Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much for the call. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on the wildfires impact. I saw your essential fact and the $50 million impact, but just wondering how do you plan to report that in the financial statements? I'm assuming it will be in the first quarters of this year's financial statements, and I was wondering if it will be reflected as a loss. That's my question. Thank you.
Well, yes, most probably we will make a provision in the first quarter results. I mean, we need to have a more definite calculation on that. The amount that we have mentioned is the approximation of the net damage, taking into account the what we're going to receive from the insurance company. So I'm not sure if we're going to be able to account for the insurance claim at the end of September. It will depend on how definite the calculations are done, and if you have a certificate from, let's say, from insurance company to be able to account the positive of the claim. But the net impact that you will feel most probably during the year will be the $50 million. We will announce a more definite number as soon as we have more information, but it will be a provision in the value of our biological assets. So in the net gain in changes from biological asset will be the main impact before taxes.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Okay.
The next question will come from Jen Spies with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions. I just want to ask if you could give a bit more color on wood products in the first quarter and how things are trending also in the second quarter. Do you see realized prices and volumes still declining, or do you see some stabilization there? That would be very helpful. And just to elaborate on what you just mentioned on the forestry impact, of the $50 million, how much is approximately like cash impact and how much is non-cash? Thank you.
Okay, starting from wood products, we felt that we reached the bottom in Q1, and we see more stabilization in the coming months in terms of the demand or production. We don't see further curtailments in production probably, and we expect that the second quarter will be better. So we will see an increase in demand, and we expect that we can increase some volume. So we have more positive as the second half of 2023, of course, is not going to be as good as it was last 2 years because it was an abnormally condition because of the end of COVID and people buying more furniture and wood products. But we expect to normalize a little bit stocks and production and to regain some production of the second half of 2023. And regarding cash, impact of the forest fire, well, most of it is not cash because it's a forest that we will harvest later on. I mean, most of the damage is in the forest that is middle-aged. It's not the old, very old trees that are going to be harvested next year, and not the very young trees that have nothing to lose in terms of value. So I would say that the cash impact is not going to be felt a lot in this year, probably could be positive because of the claim of the insurance company. But we will feel the lack of volume on forest the coming years, and of course we will need to plant more now and probably to try to replace that fiber that we lost in the fire. So I would say that most probably it will be neutral or a little bit positive rather than completely negative in terms of cash. But of course, what it matters is that the value of the forest that we lost completely, that we will need to replant again, and we will feel the lack of volume in the coming years.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much.
The next question will come from Alexa Heater with Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking the time to answer our questions. Regarding the 2024s, do you have a plan to address that maturity? Are you looking at the international capital markets, or any more color there would be helpful? Thank you.
Well, yeah, we have a bond maturing on 2024 in August. That is $500 million, and that we most probably will need to refinance, especially because we are, you know, planning this big project in Brazil, Sucuriú. So most probably we will go to the market. We are defining when to be the best time to do it, looking at the market, how the spreads are doing, and most probably will be done during the year, probably second half of the year. We are, or the beginning of 2024. But we always do this at least 6 months before the maturity. So I would say that is the latest will be the first quarter of 2024.
Thank you very much.
The next question will come from Yusuke Kawayan with Tokyo Marine. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me? Thanks for taking my question. So I have a question about wood segment. So you mentioned about the recovery in demand expected second quarter and first quarter. So could you elaborate what kind of demand, products or customers are you looking the increase in demand?
Yes, we talk about an increase in demand in wood products in the second half that we expect. That we have been following especially the demand in the U.S., and it seems that the end demand is healthy. I mean, what needs to recover is the stocks that are in the chain. That some of our clients increase a lot their stock because of logistic delays and things like that, so they need to reduce a little bit inventory. But we said that at the end, customer demand is very healthy. So if construction normalized a little bit the second quarter, the weather is going to be better, so it's normal for the construction, and stocks go down, we expect that we are in a good position to increase a little bit the demand. Of course, it's not going to be like the last 2 years, so we don't expect to have the same amount of EBITDA that we had in the past. I mean, we had about $1 billion in EBITDA from the wood products in the last 2 years, and that is nothing compared to the normal EBITDA that we have in that division. So, but we expect better condition than the last quarter of 2022 and this first quarter, which were an adjustment effort to normalize stocks in the whole chain.
Okay, thank you very much. One quick follow-up about that. So I guess you see some gap in timing. I mean, when you get the demand, and when there's demand, and then you see the actual order. So there should be some kind of timing gap between the order and the demand. So how can I understand of the difference in the timing? Is it like a 6 months or 3 months? Well, very quick, how can I understand that?
Well, if I understand correctly, I mean, in the wood product division, we have like two types of products, I mean, panels and wood products. In wood products, we operate as a make-to-order, let's say. So once we have the demand for the client, we start producing in Chile, basically, and exporting. So that takes some delay, about 2 months or 3 months sometime, in order for the product to reach the final client. So you see, there you have some volatility in the stocks if the demand changes a lot. In panels, it's different. We operate mostly make-to-stock, and we are closest to the client because we are local market. So that reaction is much quicker than in the wood product division. So the more volatility in stocks comes from sawnwood, remanufactured wood products, solid wood that come especially from Chile to the U.S. That is the main market. But in the panel market, it's more flexible in terms of adjusting to demand and less variation in stock. So, but what we are hearing is that the demand is there, the clients are still buying in the U.S., which is a main market, so we expect that wood products, solid wood, will remain healthy, and basically because we have a very good competitive advantage in terms of cost and quality of our product to supply the North American market.
Thank you very much.
The next question is a follow-up from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity to follow up. So on the forest fires, I had a question in terms of impact on cost and production looking into 2023 and 2024. So I just wanted to confirm that, the widespread of the forest fires this year is not expected to impact either your production or pulp costs in 2023 and 2024, and we could see an impact, looking out farther ahead. Is that correct?
It's difficult to assess because the way we account for the forest cost, and what happens is normally when you have this big impact in forest fires, you need to harvest very quickly the standing wood that before it gets damaged by the fungus or things like that. So you need to harvest a lot, so that makes an effort in a short period of time to harvest, and so that put additional cost on harvesting, and that could have an impact on the wood that is harvested and sold to the pulp division. So we could have a negative impact in cost. The cash cost of the fire could be different than the 50 million that I mentioned, but the accounting cost, the cost of the of harvesting and could be different. So we don't have an impact assessment yet of the cost of the forest, but I will say that probably will have an impact. Probably we'll have more information on our next call once we have the total assessment of damage and the harvesting program that is being modified at this time, and we could give you more guidance on the impact on wood cost on pulp and wood products.
Great. And on production, no expected impact, or is still early to assess?
No, production, I mean, I don't expect a restriction coming from the harvesting on forest. It's not basically the problem. The problem will be demand in the case of wood products and also the availability of our mills in order to produce. I mean, but I don't expect any restrictions on production based on the amount of fiber available.
That's great. Thank you.
This concludes our question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Well, okay. Thanks again for attending this call. We will host the next quarter results on mid-May, more or less, and we will send you the press release once we have the results shown to the market. Thank you very much. Nice hearing from you. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect your line at this time and have a great day.